Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, praise team. Pressing in. Amen. Woo, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Come on, hallelujah. Listen, let's take a minute. I want you to put your hands on your hearts. Come on. Put your hands on your hearts. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Heavenly Father, tonight, I pray to God, Lord, that you quicken or awaken, God. To God, Lord, that this doesn't be a head knowledge, but a heart knowledge. God, Lord, I pray today, to God, Lord, that we be saturated with your presence, God. Awakened and renewed right now. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Tonight's called Overwhelmed or Overflowing. Tell someone, overwhelmed or overflowing? Am I overwhelmed or am I overflowing? Come on, that's a question that we ask, and every one of us could say somewhere sometimes, I'm overwhelmed. Come on, but I am in the Spirit of God. I'm not meant to be overwhelmed, but I'm meant to overflow. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm meant to overflow. Here's why I get overwhelmed is whenever I let the world wash over me, spill out on me. Come on. Get on me. Come on. Begin to overwhelm me, begin to flood me, begin to be doused by it, whether you like it or not. Sometimes we're doused by it. Come on, sometimes we're tossed to and fro by different things around us. But I want you to know there's a clear declaration I want you to hear tonight that He, in His presence, hallelujah, is fullness of joy. In His presence, hallelujah. And Jesus declared this, and I declared this Wednesday night, and it was, I believe there was specifically that moment that we declared something in this house, hallelujah, and we're going to move forward with it. Amen. But I want you to see something, that this would be a house of prayer, a place of intimacy, a place of intimacy. I'm not going to let the enemy steal from me. I'm not going to let the enemy destroy, to kill, or to take hold of my identity in who I am in Jesus Christ. Amen? But I am going to let this be a house of prayer. Come on, amen? Not only this place, but this place. I declare it with my heart as a commitment to you. And I declare it and ask of you to make it a commitment to this house together. Amen? Because we can't do it by ourselves. But together, hallelujah, we can become a house of intimacy. Amen? We can be a house of refuge that God has called this place to be. Hallelujah. A place where they can run unto and be safe. Amen? That they could be healed, that could be touched, and they could be overwhelmed by the presence. But it just doesn't take us, come on, gathering together. It takes some prayer. Come on. It takes us getting together in God's face and crying out to Him, God, Lord, I need you more. Because I want you to know that whether you like it or not, you are in this world, but you're not of this world. We are in this world. And Jesus said this to His disciples. He told them on the night of His passion, the moment that He was going to the cross, amen, that the world was going to try to overwhelm Him. Hallelujah. But Jesus went to prayer and He looked at His disciples. And He talked to His disciples, and this is what He said to them. He says, I ask you to pray with me that you will not be led into temptation. Pray that you won't be tempted. Pray. Tell your neighbor, pray that you won't be tempted. Now I want you to see this. He said, pray that you will not be tempted. Tempted from what? I want you to understand something. He said this, because the world is going to try to douse you, overwhelm you, overcome you, and they're going to come after you. And the way that you are led from temptation is prayer. That you get intimate with me. Come on. I want you to know it's not just some routine prayer that I'm just declaring something. I'm trying to do something by memory. No, no, no. I'm talking about prayer. I'm talking about grabbing hold of God. I need you, God. Hallelujah. Lord, I need your presence, Lord. I need you to, Lord, come, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Renew me, God. Stir my heart. Before I get up in the morning, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but you know what we need to begin to do? I begin to see this. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to begin to do more than I've ever done. You know, sometimes, not just the quick studies, and sometimes, you know, you get busy, you're tired. That's what I mean. You're overwhelmed by the world. I'm not meant to get tired. Come on, my spirit is alive, and it's strengthened, it's powerful. But we let our flesh get overwhelmed. But I'm renewed in His presence. I'm refreshed in His presence. And here's what I challenge. Listen, if we take our Bibles and you open your Bible, I don't care where, but whatever, it doesn't matter. And somebody said one time that, man, he says that he opened his Bible to chapter 11. He says, okay, that's the rule. I'm supposed to declare bankruptcy. I'm good to go now. No, but I want you to know, I'm just making something that we can say, that we can make something before us and remind us that as we lay that Bible open, right before us, before we walk out the door, I don't care whether it's on the kitchen table, we make ourselves face it. Come on. We make ourselves say, I'm not going to walk out without reading the Word or opening my heart up. And just take that Word for a moment. Just take the Word for a moment. He's worthy of it. He told us that we need it. He told me that I needed it. And everything that God says that I need, I need. Like the breath that I breathe. But so many times we're tempted by the world. We're drawn by the world. And not just by lust or this or that, but no, I'm talking about the world, the system of the world. It wears you down, doesn't it, Bill? It beats you up. Come on, amen. It punches you, it pulls you, it drags you, it tries to pull you down. Hallelujah. But I want you to know, no greater is He that is in me than he that's in the world. But I got to access, I got to take hold of Him. Every one of us use one of these or one of these. Hallelujah. I challenge you this. Don't plug it in tonight. Don't. What's going to happen? Every one of us will not go to bed without plugging our phones in. Not one of us. We can't watch our TVs. We can't do nothing. We can't access any one of our, what do you call them? Tech devices without it being plugged in. But yet God's challenging us to plug in, to be renewed. We refresh our batteries. We need to be refreshed in His presence, to have that communication, to be refreshed, to be renewed, not just on Sundays or Wednesdays, but every day, that I'm refreshed in His presence. There's a study or a thing they did in Time magazine. And they did a study on, and I don't pick on millennials, because it's everybody. Millennials are great. I don't want to get in right now, but I got a whole thing on this whole thing, millennials. But I try to think of the good things that they bring us. And millennials, say amen. Amen. All right, maybe I'm not a millennial. But listen, in my heart I am. But it said that there's a study, they did a thing, and it's called, have you ever heard of it? It's called FOMO. She's heard of it. Have you heard of it? It's a fear of missing out. FOMO. It's a real thing. It's a fear of missing out. And they were doing a survey of it, and they began to search out what the FOMO meant, and what it meant was. There was always this, and I wrote some of these down, that it's to desire to keep up. There's an extreme desire to keep up. So I want you to see this, understand this. This is why he said, pray that you not be led into temptation, that you not be drawn away from me. Because unfortunately, sometimes that there's that spirit out there of FOMO where that we have a desire to keep up with who? With everybody around. And every generation to some degree has had it, but another generation has really experienced it more than this generation because of the technology that we're plugged into. The resource that we're plugged into. The things where we're being fed. The things that are feeding us, the things that are pouring into us daily and daily. And those things are good things. But I want you to know that seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first God and His presence and who He is. And it says it says that they're overspent, overworked. Overcrowded calendars. Overcrowd our kids, We overcrowd these things because there's a sense of FOMO that we're missing out, that my kids might miss out, that I might miss out on something. And that thing overwhelms people. Come on. That sometimes I have seen it where that literally people, I've watched people, I go into neighborhoods and sometimes I see them and everybody's frustrated because their grass isn't as green as the neighbor's grass. I pray to God my grass dies. Please, Jesus. Scorch it, Lord. Let it die. Yeah, I don't have a tractor, God. So let it die. But I know that, but there's a constant pressure that I got to keep up, and that overwhelms people. And I see it burning people out. I see it burning out families. I see it burning out individuals. I see it burning out kids because they got to feel like they're going to miss out on something. And that's wearisome. That's heavy upon people. And it'll overwhelm us. See, so I want you to know that God wants His Spirit to flow out of us. He wants His love to flow out of us. He wants His presence to pop out of us and spill on everybody around us. Man, I believe that God will put us, and sometimes God might not put you in a place because you haven't waited on Him. Because why? Even me, sometimes I get weary, man. We have tough jobs, don't we? I mean, a lot of us have tough jobs, man. And sometimes it's hard. You get out, and we can't be overwhelmed. We got to press in. We got to press in even harder. Come on, amen. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to just press in even harder, because not to let these things overwhelm me, take me down, and pull me down, and cause me to feel like I need to be more than what I am. I am who God said I am. And as I waited on God this morning, as we prayed last night in our prayer. Just some lady showed up that she comes randomly, but she came here. She said, God told me to come here. And she, in the midst of it, didn't know what she was going to say, but began to prophesy. Word of encouragement that we really needed. We needed to hear it right then and there. Right there. Bam. Just bam. See, but it came an opportunity. Craig giving God opportunity to speak to me. But as I was walking out, that is, God give God opportunity to speak to me, then guess what that creates? Overflow. And took my dog to Tractor Supply to get a shot. I don't know how, it's not my dog. Did I say it? It's not my dog. He's not my dog. I don't even like him that much, but... Oh, I kind of do. So I took him there, and we go in the back, and I'm like, oh, yes, we're in line. I see two older people coming in line. I'm like, okay, I could beat them. So I took off ahead of them, and I got ahead of them a little bit and got up there. And then I get in the back room, and it's boom, 100 dogs. I'm like, are you kidding me? I need to be in God's presence. You know, this is Saturday, man. And I was standing there, I began to feel that God was speaking in my heart then, and just as I just waited on Him, as the dog was trying to bite other dogs or was grabbing his mouth and holding it. This is an abuse. But as I was walking out the door, all of a sudden there was somebody that was there that I haven't seen in church in over a year. Two people. And I felt that God was letting me overflow on them, that they needed it. And I began to overflow on them because I was overflowed by God. And I felt encouraged, strengthened in that moment. And I felt that I knew right then and there they needed that. And I said, forgive me, God, sometimes. Sometimes I get overwhelmed by the world. And we think about me. Think about my own personal. I want you to know that God just can't talk to me when I'm in my house, but He can talk to me as long as I'm present with Him. As long as I'm aware with Him, no matter where I'm at. Whether I'm at work or wherever I'm at. But there's a couple of stories like that happened this week, but we won't get into it. But I want you to see this, but there's this desire to keep up that sometimes, unfortunately, we're overspent. We overspend our money. We overspend our time because of FOMO. Fear of missing out on something. Psalms 23. If we could go there. Y'all know it. The Lord is your shepherd. Help me out tonight. What's it say? The Lord is what? Whose shepherd? He's my shepherd. So I want you to know the victory and this whole power of this whole scripture right here contains that the whole countenance. What? The whole thing that it contains starts with this verse. The Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd. That's personal. That's intimate. That's something more than just a shepherd. He's my shepherd. He's the protector of my soul. He's the one that I look for advice. He's the one that protects me from the wolves. He's the one that leads me, that feeds me, that guides me. I need to trust that God. I need to know who He is. I need to know without a shadow of a doubt that this is who God is. Tell your neighbor, God is good. He is good. Tell your other neighbor, God is good. Tell the people that aren't here tonight that God is good. I want you to know that this needs to be in our DNA. Come on, amen. I want you to know that whenever we forget about God being good, I want you to know the enemy is going to begin to win. Come on, he's going to begin to win. Automatically, we are going to go backwards instead of forward. God is good. That's who he is. That's what he is. He can't be anything else. And everything that God does for me is for my good. No matter what's happening, I've got to be in a place determined within me to say within me, the Lord is my shepherd. He's good. He's nothing else. He's good. That's who he is. He's good. I want you to know that we need to meditate on that. We need to take hold of that because that's our victory. We will lose ground. We will slip and we will fall if we forget about the goodness of God. I'm going to give you four principles that we need to take hold of to have an overflowing life. Four things. And if we take hold of these things, I don't want to just say these things for us not to really take hold of them. So I want you to write them down. Find a piece of paper or something because this is important. I want you to know if you're not overflowing, you need to write it down. Come on, amen. You need to just take hold of it. You need to say, I need to do this. I need to do this. Somebody need a pen? Pen? Kelly will give you a pen. You need a pen? Look around. This is important. That's how important. God's good. Everything He does in my life is for my good. It's for my good. See, I want you to see something. Last week we said this. I'm trying to get this out. But remember last week we talked about the rich young ruler and he went up to Jesus. He says, good master. He called him good. I want you to know that what he said with his head wasn't what he believed in his heart. So I want you to know that, listen, this is where we need to have victory in overflowing lives. He was FOMO. He had a fear of missing out on something. But it wasn't Jesus. See, because if he really believed that God was good, because that's why Jesus stopped and says, wait a minute, why do you call me good? Because what I'm about to tell you, if you believe that I'm good with your heart, you'll follow me. And he put the challenge before him and he told him, he says, I've done all these things. He says, sell your possessions. Sell your FOMO. The fear of missing out on something, that thing, whatever that is, you need to sell it. And I want you to know that wherever the order, I really wanted to have this something where I can have a stack of things that we place. And a lot of these things that we have, just picture it, whether they're blocks, and we stack them up real high. And there's all these different things. And sometimes we could stay with, honestly in our heart, you could do it in private, but you could say, where's God on that list? Help us, God. Where's God here? Is He here? Because all this was failed without God here. Without Him first. So the guy asked him, he says, Jesus told him, sell what you have. And the guy didn't do it. He left because he had great possession. We talked about it. He had something that possessed him, something that held on to him. And I began to think, and something that as I went home, I began to think about this. And I didn't get into it that very much when I preached. But he was possessed with something. That if you have a possession, that it can possess you. And sometimes that thing could be, it could be lust, it could be a sin, it could be whatever it is. But the one thing that God spoke to my heart, it could be an idea. And that idea, that if I give God something first, then I'm going to miss out on something out here. Maybe if I give God my tithe, I might miss out on something. Maybe if I give God my time, I might miss the ball game or this or that. It means nothing. Those things mean nothing. So he was possessed with something. He says he wasn't willing to sell it. He wasn't willing it. And the disciples says, well, how are we going to make it? And Jesus says, with God, all things are possible. That's what God said. But God is good. He is good. And I want you to know that he's good. And we're willing, we could sell our possession, that thing that we hold on to that we think that's giving us life, but sucking the life out of us. It's sucking a generation. It's pulling them backwards because of the awareness of not realizing that it's God first. He's first. It's him. Are we okay? Listen. And he says, and I'm going to read this. He maketh me to lie down. But I want to jump all the way down here. I can't get into all this. And it says this. He prepares the table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runs over. What does it do? My cup runneth over. He anoints my head and my cup runs over. When I am in his presence, I become anointed, hallelujah, and my enemies have to sit there and watch me in the presence of my King, hallelujah. They have to see it. They have to, listen, I want you to know that they're not eating me, but I'm eating at the presence of God. I'm eating and consuming the presence of God, taking hold of the anointing, the life and the Spirit of God. And my cup will run over. It's overflow. Tell your neighbor, overflow. I'm going to help you. You're going to help me. Help me. Help me. Preach. Overflow from his presence. There's two ways to approach life. I want you to see this. It is with a mentality, a shortage, with a mentality of shortage. Listen, this is what I mean by this. I never have enough, and I never will. That's a shortage mentality. You don't have to raise your hand, but everybody here has thought that. So I want you to know, the world places that in our hearts. That I don't have enough, and I never will. Keep in mind, God is good. He is good. But it's about a mindset. It's a shortage mentality. This is what we carry with that shortage mentality. Lacking, wanting, and a need. And the surplus of that, is I'm always wanting and I always am need. I'm going to look this up because I want you to see this and I'm going to give you an example of that real quick. Is that all right? Listen, this is in 2 Kings 4, 42. And this is a shortage mentality. And the second one is a surplus mentality. Shortage and surplus. I get excited sometimes. I get ahead of myself. Two mindsets. Shortage and surplus. A man came from Bel Shalish, bringing a man of good 20 loaves of barley bread, baked from the first ripe grain, along with some heads of new grain. Give it to the people to eat, Elijah said. Give it to the people. I want you to know they were in a drought. They didn't have anything. The other guy was watching this take place. And this is a shortage mentality. Because this is what he said to the man of God. When he said, because this is the mindset, a fear of missing out of what I can get. And he says, how can I set this before 100 men? His servant asked. How can I do this? There won't be anything for me. Come on. There won't be anything left for us. But this is a surplus mentality. Because Elijah said this. But Elijah, he says, give it to the people. He says, for this is what the Lord says. Because why? God is good. And God gives. That's who he is. I want you to know if I want overflow, I got to realize God's good and there's overflow. Come on, amen. That what comes out of my life needs to be good and it needs to overflow. Come on, amen. It needs to be a blessing that no matter where I go, I cannot and I need to cut it off my life. That wherever I go and I walk in and I say, well, I'm not sure if I have enough. No, I'm just going to give it. Come on, amen. I'm just going to bless. With my time, with my life, with who I am, with my attitude, when I walk in there, I'm going to be a blessing. Hallelujah, when I walk in that room. I'm going to be a blessing when I walk in that field. I'm going to be a blessing. They're going to be glad that I walked into the room. Hallelujah. Why? Because I do not have a shortage mentality. I have a surplus. Because I've been in God's presence. I have something to give. That's what it is. And we can always see that Jesus told the disciples the same thing. He said, how can we do this? That's a shortage mentality. But Jesus had a surplus. And that surplus mentality means this. God has more than I'll ever need. Do you see the difference? He says, a mindset that says, I'll never have enough. But a God mentality, a surplus mentality, says that God has more than I'll ever need. Amen? And that comes out of that is abundance, abounding, and plentiful. That's what comes out of surplus. God's limited resources. I need to plug in. I need to plug in. I don't trip into it. So I want you to know that God will not just force me, His presence on me. He will not force His treasure of His presence and His Spirit upon us. He won't force it upon us. But they that wait upon the Lord, those that desire it, those that are hungry for it, those that says, I want it more than the world, hallelujah. I am hungry for you, God, more than anything else, God. I need you more than that, God. I know the lie. I know that, God, Lord, the things that gotta try to trip me and cause me to fail, and I can look at what this is. I can look at a shortage mentality, but I can say, God, I'm going to take hold of a surplus mentality. I'm going to reach for you, God, where there's no limit to the resources that God has. No matter where I'm at. Listen, I want to get through this. I just want to see this. John 7:37. Look that up as I go to the next part. Because these are the four things that we need to make a habit. I want you to see it. What did I say? John 7:37. Sorry. In the last day. Listen, I want you to see this, guys. Everybody, listen, listen, listen. There was a big crowd of people. There was all these people that were there. This was like that church moment. This was like the whole city. All the people were back and forth, and it was filled with religious people. And Jesus stood up. He stood up, and it said He cried, but He didn't cry. He shouted. Tell your neighbor, shouted. Saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. All those that have a fear of FOMO, come to me. Jesus placed it before him for everybody there to see. All the religious, all the ones that are trying to succeed and do their thing and whatever that thing is they're trying to do. Jesus says, come unto me when you're thirsty and I'll make you overflow. I'll take that dry ground and begin to burst out of it with life. Out of disappointment, out of fear, as we get in God's presence and have a mindset of He's good. Not believe the lie. We're going to make stickers or we're going to do something. God's good. It's a lie. Something. We got to think of something. I don't know. Don't believe the lie. God is good. Something, I don't know. We got to do something. We'll think of something, whatever. Listen, here's the four things. I'm going to get into this right now. Of overflow. Number one, stay connected to Jesus. Number one. Stay connected. Take hold of Him. Don't let Him go. He said, well, no, He'll never let me go. I know, but I let Him go. I'm going to say it again. He will never let me go, but we let Him go. We let Him go. We let that awareness of God, the presence of God, we let it go. And he says, number two, stop complaining and start being grateful. And I want you to see this and understand that, listen, none of these will happen without number one. Without being connected to our life source, without being plugged in. Come on, amen. Listen, if we're searching Google, if we're searching Google more than we are searching God, we're failing. All of us. And I need to ask that question. Every one of us needs to say to ourselves, am I searching Google? Am I searching Facebook? Am I searching it more than I'm searching God? Nothing wrong with those things, everybody. I want you to say, I'm not preaching against things, but I'm preaching for something. Jesus. Hallelujah. It's not that we take all these other things and we just pull Jesus along with us. Put them in a little cart and pull them with us. We laugh. It's funny. Listen, stop complaining and start being grateful. Start living out of surplus. See, whenever we're connected with Him, it'll bring us to a place where that we're grateful, we're thankful. It'll begin to come out of us. And other people around us will begin to experience it. It's overflow. See, if you're with the first one, the second one comes. It goes right with it. It flows from it. We quit complaining. The third is stop comparing and start being. I think this is so important right now that we take hold of this. Listen, I want you to know that God will never say to you, I wish you were more like your sister when you stand before Him. I wish you were more like your father. I wish you were more like you. I wish you would be you. Because there's nobody else like you. God does not clone. Man clones. God doesn't clone. There's nobody like you. There's nobody that can come forth out of your life overflow like you. There's nobody that can present God like your view. You have a view of God that you have when you're intimate with Him that comes out of your life that nobody can give on this earth, on this planet. And you were created here to overflow it. You were created here to release it to your children, to your friends, to your church, come on, to your community, to those that are out there, to generations to come. That's the only thing that lasts, is what your overflow is. That's it. Stop comparing and stop being. That's the shortest mentality when we do that. Whenever we start comparing. The fourth one is this. Stop being stingy. Because God isn't. I want you to know these aren't hard if we start with the first one. These all are easy. They flow. See, because it's not about you trying to do it. When you're intimate with God, you'll do it. Listen, I want you to give you this. Everybody can give and not love. I know a lot of people that give. I know a lot of people that give and really don't love. But you cannot love without giving. I'm going to say it again. You cannot love without giving. For God so loved the world that He gave. It's in His nature because He's good. And He created you to be that way too. It's in us to give. To give whatever area that is. But sometimes we're stingy. Sometimes we say to ourselves, we wonder why we just have this. But we need to release it. We need to say, you know what, just let it go. Guess what? God is surplus. And whatever I have, guess what? God will bring it back because He has it. We just release it. Come on. Sometimes we do. Come on. I want you to hear this. Sometimes I look at the things. I say, okay, Kel, look at this. She shows me the list. She was here, honey. She'll show me it. She'll say this and this. And I know this and this. And this ain't coming this way. And that ain't going this way. And it doesn't make any sense. And automatic within you, you say, well, you feel stingy. Try to hold on to it. Why? Because of FOMO. Fear of missing out on something. I might miss something. I might not be able to buy something. I might not be able to have that one thing that I need. We all go that way. But that's the wrong mentality. Start being generous. Every one of us, we start being generous. Start looking around and wondering, listen, I want you to know, when they had an encounter with God on the day of Pentecost, guess what began to be the result of that? They began to give. Any need that was there, nobody was without. Nobody. Nobody was without. I read, I don't know if you, Purpose Driven Life. It's a great book. One of the greatest selling books of all time. In every language, most sold book ever. He paid a price for it. He sold over $68 million worth of books. You say, well, geez, I'd be generous if I had that much money too. He had an income of $200 when he wrote the book. $200. He trusted God with his income to come in. But he made a salary of $200. People would take, bless him, and this or that. But he had a check that came in. A resource check. A check that came in $200. And he says, I gave and I believe what God says. I said it was a truth. God's my surplus. And I gave every time. He said, I remember one time I was sitting there. He says, I went to my son's. He has a mentally challenged son. And he took him to the doctor or something like that. And he left for a while. And he went and he grabbed some food. And he was sitting on a porch. He was sitting on a table. He was taking hold of it. And he realized there was two homeless guys sitting behind him. And he began to rip off his face. He says, you guys hungry? He says, yeah. And he began to pull apart a sandwich and began to give them each one sandwich and some fries. He said, I didn't give him my drink. He says, but I gave him everything else. And the one man says, when he got to the left, he says, they began to laugh and began to have a good time and they began to talk. And he says, he got up to leave. He says, the one man says, hey, I know who you are. He says, 50 minutes away from where I live. And he says, yeah. He says, I know who you are. He says, you're Rick Warren. He says, yeah, how do you know that? He said, because 5 years ago, on the other side of Los Angeles, he says, it was midnight. And he says, and you came up to the taco shop. He says, because you were visiting somebody at the hospital. And he says, and I was on the side of the road. He says, and you came up to me and you said, are you hungry? Can I take you to dinner tonight? And he said that God spoke to his heart. He said, why is God, why of 5 years, what is the odds? He says, it's not any odds. He said, I just wanted to remind you how important it is to give. What a testimony. What a testimony. That's overflow out of goodness. Forgive me, God, if I've been that, where that place where I haven't given out of my blessing, my surplus. We need to trust Him. We need to trust God. We trust God to get to heaven, don't we? But we don't trust Him sometimes with daily living. So you got every one of those, you wrote them down, they need to become habits. Every one of them need to become habits. Last scripture, Haggai 1:6. And then we're going to take communion. And all the praise team will just take it with us because we're just going to play a song. I just want all of us to come together. And Haggai 1:6, and let me just begin to share what this happened, because God, these people were released, they were free, they were released to go back to their hometown, to Jerusalem. They were released to go back there. Come on. You know, God releases us and God frees us, not just to free us, but for purpose. Tell your neighbor, for purpose. God just doesn't save you He saves you. He saves you for something. Not just from something, for something. That's purpose driven. When you get a hold of that. So here they are. He says, listen to me, but I want you to tell me, when you get back home, build me a house. Put me here. Place me first. And they went back and they forgot. They still had a relationship with God and they went through the motions. And God was part of it, but He wasn't here. He was down here. He was here. And He says, you've sown much. He says, and you bring in little. He says, you eat, but you have not enough. He says, you drink, but you are not filled with drink. He says, you're clothed. He says, but you, there is none warm. He says, he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Next verse. He says, this saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Next verse. He says, go up to the mountains. He says, bring and build the house that I will take pleasure in, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Build me a house first. I have held it back because you're to build me a house first. I want to build God a house first. I want to be intimate with God first. Nothing happens without prayer and intimacy. I want you to know that. Sometimes we can hear sermons. You can go every sermon, every place around here. But I'm here to tell you, this is the disclaimer. Nothing happens without prayer and intimacy. Nothing happens without tilling the ground. Without intimacy with God. And in the midst of that, God will pour out. He will pour out. Pour out. It's intimacy. God will add everything else after, but it's intimacy. Am I placing God here with intimacy? Because all these other things will come to it. They'll flow from it. The people that are giving. Sometimes if you talk about money, people, they get sin, they get angry. I talked to a guy, and he says, that's all church wants is money. He's angry. He's foaming at his mouth. Nobody that's here, some guy I know. Great guy. But he's so angry about that, that he missed out the whole thing. About that other part. Would you stand to your feet? I just want everybody here just to be at that place. To make this a house of prayer. Amen? Make this a house of prayer. Place of intimacy. Not being robbed anymore. But intimacy. Go ahead, brother.
I count on one thing. The same God that never fails will not fail me. You won't fail me.